to get started. How you guys doing? Everyone awake? Alert? All right. Has anyone heard of a corn dog? When you do a corn dog to someone? Yeah? What is it? Yeah. No, not that kind of corn dog. It's when someone corn dogs you. Do you know what that means? We used to do this. You get soaked, and then you get rolling around in the sand pit so that you're like a corn dog. So if anyone falls asleep, they get corn dog. No, I'm just joking. We won't corn dog you. But yeah, stay awake, stay with me. But let me open our time with prayer, and then we'll get into it. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for this weekend to get away and just to be with our friends, to listen to the teachers and to hear your word, and just to really, Lord, we hope be changed. And so just use this time, God, help us to have just hearts that are ready to hear what you have for us. We thank you, Father. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be with you guys. I'm Uncle Kelly. To some of you, I'm literally Uncle Kelly. Like, I have like three nieces and nephews here, and then to some of you, I'm Daddy Piper, and then the rest of you, I could be Uncle Kel. But thanks for having me. What I thought I'd do is I'd give you a little quiz, and you can tell me about, this is about me, and you could tell me what is not true in this list, all right? So, I don't know if it's going to reach. All right, maybe just do the next one. All right, which one is not true about me? I rode my bike from here to Northern California about 4 months, so I rode 2 hours. Broke or fractured 10 bones in my body. Ate horse meat in a different country. I was part of the grounds crew at Dodger Stadium for 1 year. Does anyone have a thought which one is not the right one? Tobin.
The third one, ate horse meat in a different country.
Okay, no, that's true. I ate horse meat in Japan. I didn't know it was horse meat at the time. And they're like, hey, how'd you like the horse meat? I'm like, oh, crazy, I just ate horse meat. But I that is true.
Just saying, horse meat is illegal in here, but in our countries.
Yeah, so I think in other countries, legal. Not here. The first one? No, I did ride my bike to Mount Hermon. So 1 year, Pastor Kim and I and another person rode our bikes to Mount Hermon. Number four? No, so I was a groundskeeper. So Auntie Shelley nominated me to be a groundskeeper. So I was the guy that, you know, on the third inning, they drag the field and they walk. So the last one is the 10 bones. No, they're all true. Actually, I broke 10 bones too. So yeah, but you got to learn a little bit more about me, right? All right, so that's a little bit about me, and, you know, I'm really glad to be up here, and I want to let you know, like, this will be a little bit different. Like, I know a lot of times when you're in a sermon on Sunday, you don't really raise your hands and ask questions, right? But I'll be asking questions from time to time, so, yeah, feel free to chime in. Yeah, you know, really, I wanted so much for you guys. Junior high is, like, a really important time because your next stage is high school and then college, and you think it's, like, maybe far away, but it's really right around the corner. And I think high school and college can be hard. It can be a little confusing, a little bit difficult. And so I want you to be grounded, right? Like, different things are going to come your way, and I want you to lean on God's truth as opposed to maybe just trying to do it your own way or trying to do it the way that everyone else says is the way to do it. So I want to start to help you see that, you know, what your faith looks like, and what the Beatitudes are, and that's what we're going to go into today, is just kind of a picture of who we are as Christians, who we are as believers. And I got to say, it's not always easy, but it is better. And that's what we're going to be doing today, this week. We're going to be talking about the Beatitudes, and those are found in Matthew 5. So you can turn there. Matthew is at the beginning of the New Testament, right? And I know a lot of the stuff, like I said, well, you guys will know, and that's okay, but it's either reinforcement, or maybe there's something here that you hear that's like a little bit different for the first time, or maybe it's just how you're living it out. Maybe you hear something this week and you're saying, hey, I need to do that. Even though I know that, and it's in my head, I need to do that. So Matthew is in the beginning of the New Testament, right? The Old Testament was evidence that man needed a Savior, remember that shortly after God made everything, people rebelled. We were sinful. We became sinful. And this rebellion, this sin, right, it separates us from God. So we needed the Savior to rescue us. This is what the Old Testament is. And in the third chapter of the Bible, God promises a Savior, right? And in the Old Testament, then you just see God's people, the Jews, are struggling with their sin, and they're just waiting for the Savior. And at the end of the Old Testament, there's this big stretch of time where they're like not hearing God. It's just silence. And here in the New Testament, that Savior comes, right? And Jesus is that Savior. And during this retreat, we're going to be talking about Jesus' first major sermon, right? It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And right at the beginning of the sermon is what we call the Beatitudes. Does anyone know what a beatitude means? No? Yeah, so beatitude means blessedness, right? And blessedness should describe us as Christians, right? And blessedness means happiness. But it's actually a little deeper than that, right? Happiness kind of comes and goes, right? I'm a Christian, but like I'm happy now, but oh, I'm not so happy later, or I ate something bad and now I'm really not happy, right? So blessedness comes and goes. I mean, happiness comes and goes, but blessedness is who you are. You're blessed. Blessed is who you are if you're in God's family. And we're going to talk about what it is to become part of God's family in a bit. But blessed is who you are if you live as God designed you to live. So what does the Beatitudes tell us what do the Beatitudes tell us about being a Christian? If we can go to the next one. The Beatitudes show us how to honor God, that we are different, and that we are blessed. All right? So I wanted to give you a little bit of sermon illustration. Who knows what this is? Does anyone know what this is? It's Pez, right? It's I think it's a Boba Fett Pez. Oh, sorry, Django. So, Pez, right? And I collect these, right? So I started a long time ago, and I collected them. And really the reason why I collected them was because when you're a little kid and you ask your mom and dad, hey, can I get a Pez? 90% of the time they say no, right? Like you're at a store, hey, can I get a Pez? No, I can't get a Pez. Then you go to Disneyland, and maybe on a special occasion, or you get one in your stocking, it's like, sweet, I like Pez, but I don't get them that often. Then I became an adult, and I said, I can buy these. I don't have to ask my mom and dad anymore. So I just started buying them. But to be honest, a lot of people they found out I collected them, and so they gave them to me. Well, I think the interesting thing is, you know how old Pez is? Like, not this Pez, that's this particular Pez, but how long Pez have been around? Like 100 years. They've been around since the 1920s. And do you know what they originally were for? Does anyone know? Huh? Medication? No, but that's kind of a cool guess. That's a good guess. That would be a good, like you have, if you put like a little, I don't know, ibuprofen in there and then popped it open, that'd be a lot funner. But you know, actually what it was for is, because does anyone see this thing? Do you know what this is? It's a lighter, right? And what do some people do with lighters? I don't do with lighters, but what do some people do with lighters? They smoke, right? And so a Pez is kind of like this version of a lighter. And it was to help people stop smoking, right? And so I thought, like, that's kind of cool. Like, this is like this, I mean, it's fun for us, right? Because they have all sorts of kinds, and I have a ton in here. There's all sorts of kinds, right? There's like Hello Kitty, and there's all the Disney characters and all the Star Wars characters, right? But the purpose, they kind of have like the same flicking method, but their purpose is very different, right? And that's what I wanted to kind of encourage you with this weekend, is that as a Christian, you are very different. And so what I did is I actually brought like a good chunk of my collection. And so you guys are willing to take, I mean, welcome to take as one of these for yourself if you want. So I literally bought, like, I'll show you. It's hard for you to see in the back row, but. So I brought like 150 of them. So there's only like 75 of us. So take one of those. I brought So I took the candy out, because some of the candy I had in there was like 20 years old, and I didn't want you eating 20-year-old candy. So I bought new candy. But you can't take this back to the cabins, right? So at the end of the retreat, you come and find someone, one of us, and we'll give you two of these. But this is all to remember that, like, we're different, right? Like, this lighter has kind of this negative purpose, and this has kind of this positive purpose. And so that's what I kind of want you to think about as, you know, as Christians and non-Christians, we're the same. We're all people, right? We're all human. But we all have a different purpose if we're a Christian, right? We're called to be different. Yeah, so I wanted to, everyone to just take one of these and just, you know, keep it. And I mean, I don't know if you like Pez or not, but just, you know, just kind of as a reminder that we're called to be different. So today we're going to be talking about the first beatitude. So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says this, and we can go to the next one. It says, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" So part of what we're going to look at today, just that part, is that part where it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So this poor, this idea of poor here is really poor, right? It's not just a little poor, like, it means super poor. And spirit really has this idea of this life inside of us, right? Our spirituality, like our heart, like what's inside of us. So Jesus is really saying, let's have poor hearts. And really what this means is he wants us to have humble hearts. And so today we're going to look at what it means to be humble. So the next slide is right, exactly. Humble means to be brought low, right? Not like literally like physically low, but in our hearts to be brought low. I don't know, does anyone like to doodle when they're listening to a message? Yeah, there's some doodlers, right? I was a doodler, and I mentioned it yesterday. So what I thought I'd do is each message will kind of have a doodle, and I have it on the next slide. So you can just, like, copy this. You can make your own version of it, right? So I kind of made a logo for each session, right? So you can Google doodle, and you can doodle on the little notepads. And by the way, those notepads are from Uncle Jared. So you know Uncle, like Tobin's dad and Shiloh's dad. So if you see Uncle Jared, say, "Hey, thanks for the notepads," right? So, but yeah, so you can, you know, jot that in your notes or in your notepad. But you can doodle. It's okay to doodle in this session. And this is what we're gonna. And so those arrows are kind of just like, just talking about how we need to be brought low. And so today we're going to look at what it is to have a humble heart. So humility is both for salvation and for how we live each day, right? It's for salvation and how we live each day. So we're going to look at humility for salvation. So we see in this verse, it's kind of humility is our response to the gospel, right? We're supposed to be humble to the gospel. And what is the gospel? Can anyone tell me what the gospel means? Like literally what the word means? It means good news, right? That's exactly what it means. It means the good news. It's the good news that Jesus came to save sinners like you and me, right? Let me explain. God made everything, including people, and we are his most important creation. But sin entered, right? Sin is not loving God or others like God has asked us to. And sin is not living the way God has asked us to, right? So sin separates people from God. And Jesus came to save us from our sins, to pay to pay for those sins by dying on a cross, being nailed to a cross. So I kind of have this little gospel thing where it kind of talks about the gospel using the first letter of each one. So God made everything, including us, and we are made to worship him. O is our sin separates us from God. Right? S, sin deserves punishment. P, payment for our sin was made by Jesus when he died on the cross. E is Easter. E's tough, right? Because there's not a lot of E words. But Easter is when we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. And L is live for ourselves or live for the King. We can live for Jesus or we can continue to live for ourselves. You know, sometimes I'll think just about the gospel. I'll think about what Jesus did. And I think it's good to do that, right? Just to think about what he suffered, to think about the cost. I think it helps us to be thankful to him, to love him. Do you ever think about the death of Jesus, what it was, the pain that he endured on the cross? Recently, I was tearing down my garage. So I was using some big tools. I was using what they call a grinder, and it's something that spins super fast, right? And I went to cut a piece of wire, and instead of cutting the wire, it got wrapped up. It started spinning super fast, and it hit my hand. It hit my thumb. And it hurt, and it hurt really bad. But and usually hurt goes away, right? You get hurt, oh, it hurts really bad, and now it's feeling better, and now I don't feel it. But this was still hurting. And I was trying to fix my tool, but I was just like, why is my thumb still hurting? And then all of a sudden in my gloves, I started to feel this stickiness. And when I took off my gloves, I realized that this heavy wire had gone in one side of my thumb and the outside the other. I have a little picture here. So you see those two dots? Okay, don't throw up. But anyways, the wire went through one part of my thumb and out the other. And it didn't hit the bone. That was good. But it did go through like my muscle, and it hit my nerves, and my thumb was numb for like weeks. but it just made me think, like, this is like nothing, right? This is nothing compared to what Jesus endured. You know, I had a little piece of wire go through one, you know, because you kind of always wonder, what does it feel like for something to go actually through you? Well, it doesn't feel good. And that was nothing compared to what Jesus had to endure, right? Not just little wire going through a portion of your thumb, but huge nails driven through wrist and feet that actually supported his weight. And I think the crazy thing is just he was willing to do that. Like if you told me, hey, Kelly, why don't you just try to stick a wire through your thumb? I'm like, no, thank you. Not even for really good reasons, right? But God Jesus willingly did this for us. In Isaiah it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. And he didn't just die this physical death, right? We know that there was this torture and this physical death, but he was punished by God himself. The wrath of God, God's anger towards sin, was poured out on Jesus for our sins. I think people, they know that like the Jews really wanted Jesus dead, right? And we know that the Romans were the ones that executed Jesus. But I think what is important is we need to remember that it was our sins that made Jesus' death necessary. So that's where we come to our response. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? Again, poor is not money. It's a different kind of poor. Hearts that are poor. Humility that knows that we are lost without Jesus. Right? That's really important to note. Humility that understands that we are lost without Jesus. We need God. Again, remember, humility is to be brought low. Right? Remember all those arrows? We need to ask. We need to have a lowness of heart and know that we need God. So here's the biggest question that you could probably ask yourself in your whole life, and is, am I in God's kingdom? Right? Every person has to ask that question at some point. Am I in God's kingdom? And you can ask yourself a lot of questions, like where am I going to go to school, or where am I going to, you know, eventually move, or where am I? There's a lot of good questions, but this is the most important question you can ask. Let me talk about what being a part of God's kingdom is not. Right? I think one thing that people tend to think is because my family or my parents are Christian, I'm a Christian. And that's not what being a Christian is about. It's not about going to church. I mean, Christians go to church, but that's not what being a Christian is, right? If you think about a car, a garage, me standing in a garage, does that make me a car? It doesn't, right? The place you are doesn't make you what you are. It's not about being good. I think this is one that so many people have. If I'm good, I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven, right? And we see these in cartoons, right? You see a cartoon and someone dies and the cartoon character goes up to heaven and there's some guy at some gates and he's meeting them and it's like, are you a good guy or are you a bad guy? If you're a good guy, you come here. If you're a bad guy, you go down there, right? And that's not actually how it works. The actual one judging will be God, and he will either say people, he will either see people who are hoping their good works will get them into heaven, which they won't, or he will see people who are humble and know that they are not nearly enough and have trusted in Jesus for forgiveness. So what being a part of God's kingdom is, it's someone that is poor in spirit, right? They are humility to say that I need Jesus, knows that they need Jesus. We need his forgiveness to be in a relationship with God. And when we are humble to know that Jesus is the one way, and we turn from our sin to Jesus in faith for forgiveness, then we receive eternal life, and we're in part of God's kingdom. Right, in this verse it says, Jesus says, we get the kingdom of heaven. Right, have you ever even tried to picture, like, how beautiful heaven must be, right? We know there's a lot of beautiful places around here. Even being up here, and just being in the trees and kind of the forests and the mountains, it's beautiful. I'm sure some of you have been to Hawaii, Mammoth, Yosemite, those kind of places where you're just like, this is amazing, this is beautiful. And they're nothing compared to heaven. And this is my great hope for you. This is the hope of everyone that's here serving you this weekend, is that you would know who Christ is, that you would become a part of his family. And when you're part of his, part of God's family, you get this new family, right? So you might have a mother and a father and maybe a sister or brother or whatnot, siblings, but you get this whole new family. And when you're part of God's kingdom, you get heaven, which I just talked about, right? Something just so amazing to look forward to. And when you're part of the kingdom, most importantly, you get God, right? Sometimes I'll think about my favorite people. Could be your friends, your family. My favorite person is my wife. And God is better. He's so much better. And that's who you're going to get to spend forever with. But as much as we want that for you, we can't make the decision for you. Your parents can't make the decision for you. Only you can decide that for yourself. So if you want, if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, talk to one of us. Talk to someone like your cabin leader. Talk to one of the speakers. We'd love to talk to you. Talk to Pastor David. We'd love to answer your questions, help you understand who this Christ is. So we need humility. We need to be poor in spirit to receive God's kingdom. But we also need to be poor in spirit, humble, as part of God's kingdom, as members of God's kingdom, as part of his family, right? So humility is for life. You know, like when you're part of someone's family, or when you're in your family, there's probably weird things that you kind of do. There's kind of unique things you do, like your family likes to go here, or we like to vacation here, or we like to eat certain things, or, you know, every family has kind of their quirks, their kind of unique things. We kind of, in my family, kind of have unique ways of messing with each other. Piper likes to mess with me. I got her approval to say this little illustration. A couple things she does, like I like Broncos. Like, not the horse, but the actual car, Bronco. Have a Bronco, and I think they're really cool. And when I see one on the road, I'm like, hey, Piper, look at that, it's a Bronco, I'm really excited. And she's like, yeah, it looks like a Jeep. And she knows that really hypes me out. And so she's like, yeah, it looks exactly like a Jeep. No, it doesn't look anything like a Jeep. Yeah. The other thing she does is when we're walking back to our car and I hit the alarm, she'll jump in really quick and then she'll lock all the doors. And then she'll make me dance until she lets me into the car, in order to get into the car, right? And it's kind of messed up, and so I'll have to do, like, the Running Man, or I'll have to do the Cabbage Patch, and if you don't know what those are, ask your parents. And I don't do them well, but I have to do them if I want to get back into my car. But each family is unique, right? Each family has a unique way of doing things. You might think that being humble is just about how to get into heaven, right? Like, we're humble, God forgive me, I get into heaven, and now it's like, that's it. That's where humility ends. But humility is about how we're to live. Humility should be what our lives look like as people in God's family. And the Beatitudes are about what people in God's family look like. There's multiple Beatitudes. We're not going to be able to go through them all this weekend, but that's what they're about. They're about what we look like as believers. And it's what about what we look like on the inside, right? The Jews at the time were looking for a savior who would rescue them from the problems that they were having in this world, right? God's people were looking for someone that would be, they were looking for a savior that would be like this military leader or this political leader to save them from the Romans and make them this great nation again, like really prosperous nation. But Jesus came to rescue them from themselves, from their sin, and to save them to eternal life. But he also saved them to a life that glorifies him, to live a life humble before God and before others. We're not saved by good things, by the good things we do or the humility we have, but it's evidence that we are in God's kingdom, that we're part of his family. Do you get that? Good things don't save us, right? But once we put our faith in God and we're in his family, we're changed. And good things will flow from our heart. And we call this fruit. And I'm sure you've heard this term before. Luke 6, 43, 45 says this, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." When we are in God's kingdom, there's going to be fruit in our lives. When you look at your life, is there good fruit that would be evidence that you are in God's kingdom? Not perfection, but are you growing little by little? Are you looking a little bit more like Jesus little by little? Right? This verse says, out of the good treasure of your heart, when you have the gospel, you will bear good fruit. A person who's in God's kingdom should look very different from someone that is not. Right? The world says that we should be known for what we do or what we have, right? So some people will spend a lifetime trying to get stuff or be good at things. They try to be known as things, right? Like I want to be known as the athlete or the smart person or the artsy person. Some want to be known for even things that are bad, just to be known for something. For at least they'll be known for something. You know, for me growing up, I wanted to be known, right? I wanted to be somebody. So there's some pictures I can throw up here. So those are three very weird things. But when I was probably in middle school, this is when the Rubik's Cube came out. So now Rubik's Cube's been around forever. And you guys are learning how to do it again. But when the Rubik's Cube first came out, I was in like middle school. And I was like one of the first guys that could do it. So imagine one of the first guys in your whole school, probably the only guy in my whole school that could do the Rubik's Cube because it just came out. And I was kind of known for that. And it was nice being known for that. I even dressed up as a Rubik's Cube for Halloween that year. And I won like first place in our school as the Rubik's Cube guy. And that's what I was kind of known for. But I moved on. I got to high school. And sports were everything. I played baseball and basketball. And I just lived, breathe basketball. And, you know, I was at a small school, so I was kind of like a big fish in a little pond. I could dunk a basketball, and maybe one other guy could do that at our whole school. And so that was like a big deal. And that's what I was known for. And that was my identity. And I wanted to be known for that. And then later on, as I got older, I got into art. I don't do as much of that kind of painting anymore, but it's more like t-shirt art and notebook art. I wanted to be known for that. And I wanted to be kind of seen as that guy, the art guy. And though I might have been outwardly kind of humble, I was inwardly prideful. And it drove what I did. The thing about pride is it can make you really good at something, right? I was good at basketball, I was good at painting or whatever, because I worked really hard at it. Pride said, I wanted it so bad that I'm going to work really hard at it. But here's the thing, these things will often fail us. The fact is, no one's asking me anymore about if I can do the Rubik's Cube. No one's really excited about that. They're not like, oh, hey, there's Kelly. There's the Rubik's Cube guy. I didn't make it to the NBA, right? No one's watching me play for the Lakers on TV. Art is fun. I get to do it as a job. I enjoy it. But it can be hard, too. It can be disappointing. I do designs that people are like, yeah, we don't like that. Do another. And it's like, oh, okay, here we go. But the Christian life is so different. We should be about humility. Instead of trying to find out what I'm good at or how I can be known or popular or interesting, we need to think about how can I be about Christ? How can I be about Jesus? How can I make him known? We need this lowly life, knowing in all things we need God, and we want God to get the credit for all things. Now, there were a lot of Jewish leaders that looked good on the outside in this time, but ultimately, they didn't have a heart that honored God, right? 1 Samuel 16:7 says, God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. Later in Matthew, Jesus says, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly look beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. This means that they are like a tomb that looks nice on the outside, right? Probably like marble or whatever, nice stone work, but full of gross things on the inside, right? Bones and gross things. And these religious leaders who are going around doing nice things, they just had a heart full of sin. And I know for many parents, this is a scary thought. This is one of the scariest thoughts they can have for their kids, that their kids would be like these little Pharisees, good on the outside, right, saying the right things, getting the good grades, acting nicely, but are so far from God on the inside. Right? We can do all the nice things, but for all the wrong reasons. Instead of humbly wanting God to get credit for everything, we want to look good, or we want to get something, or we want people to think well of us. But humility is what our heart should look like. Humility is knowing we need God for salvation and for life. Humility is to be brought low. So how do we grow in humility? And so we'll wrap it up pretty quickly here. How do we grow in humility? I think one is just to fight pride. So you know, people know what pride is? It's kind of sort of the opposite of humility, right? Humility is to be brought low, and pride is kind of like to bring ourselves up, to show, it's like to kind of show people who we are and to make ourselves look good. Here's a list of some of things that kind of display pride. It could be a lack of gratitude, right? We don't think we need to say thank you to God or to anyone else because, I don't know, we're deserving of it or whatnot. That's a picture of pride. Anger. Anger is a picture of pride. It's saying, hey, God, I'm not going to live a kind heart. I'm going to do things my way, pridefully, and I'm going to be angry about things. It's seeing yourself as better than others. I think that one's pretty obvious. It's having an inflated view. That means thinking you're too good, that you're good at X, baseball, basketball, drawing, crochet. My daughter does crochet. It could be a number of things. It could be focused on your lack of abilities. So sometimes you're like, I deserve to be good at something, and I'm not. And so I'm upset about it, right? And that can be a prideful way because you're thinking about what you think you deserve. Perfectionism is a picture of pride. It's like doing something so well, so perfectly, because you want other people to see that and say, wow, that's amazing, that's perfect, that's unbelievable. That's a picture of pride. Talking too much can be a picture of pride, right? Because it's saying, hey, listen to me. I'm the most important person in the room. Listen to me. I'm going to talk. All right? Talking too much about ourselves, seeking independence or control, right? You know, wanting to do things my way or the highway, right? Being consumed with what others think. It's kind of like the people-pleasing thing, right? You're like, oh, I wonder if he or she is going to like what I said or did, or, right? You're consumed with that because you want yourself to look good. Maybe it's a lack of service, not doing things for others because you think other things should be done for you. Being unteachable, maybe a lack of forgiveness, Maybe you don't think you do things that are wrong. Maybe a lack of prayer. Right, you don't need to ask for something because you took care of and you figured out. Maybe it's being impatient. Maybe covering up your sins or your faults, right? You're so prideful, you don't want people to think you have sins or faults. Maybe it's trying to get attention, right? Because again, it's about me. So part of the way we fight humility is growing humility is by fighting our pride. We need to know it. We need to know our heart. And the next part is to look to Jesus. Right? Jesus is this perfect picture of humility. It says this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus was humble. And that's who we get to look to as a perfect picture of humility, right? He left heaven, right? So he's a king in heaven, and he left heaven. Can you imagine leaving the best place to come to earth? As good as you might think it is, nothing compared to earth. He emptied himself. He became a human, right? So imagine being a God and then becoming human, right? It's lowering himself. I mean, it would be kind of like us deciding, hey, we're going to become an ant, right? Something low, something unsmart, something... Yeah, just so small. He became a servant, right? He even washed the feet of his disciples, and he washed the feet of Judas, who would betray him. And then he died for us. That's humility, right? He didn't deserve it, but he died for us. He was invincible, and he allowed himself to be crucified. And not just any death, he died a criminal's death. He was perfect, but he allowed people to mock him and kill him in the most horrific way. Jesus' humility is a picture of the humility we should have. Jesus' humility should make us humble. That the God of the universe would do this for us. How could I not try to grow in humility? So just kind of closing today, I thought one thing we could do, like I think at the end of each session, I want to kind of do something where we kind of try to live out what we're talking about. So I have these cards. Postcards, right? And so if I could have someone pass these out. Yeah, so everyone take one, should be enough for everyone. And these are postcards. And do you guys know what postcards are? Imagine email, but actually paper. And so what I want you to do is, I think one of the people, some of the people that we have the hardest time being humble with are our parents, right? I know it was for me, right? I didn't always want to listen to them. I didn't always want to be obedient. Wasn't always thankful. We talked about prideful. I was kind of unthankful sometimes. I thought I knew better in a lot of ways. And I thought it would be nice to write your parents' note. So this note could be a lot of different things. It could be just saying thank you, right? I think, right, humility is saying thank you to our parents. It could be something like, maybe there's something, too, where you need to say, you know, please forgive me because I'm not humble to you in this way. Maybe it's, you know, not listening to them, talking to them nicely, maybe rolling the eyes, right? I think everyone knows what it is to roll the eyes at our parents, right? So it could be something as simple as thanking them for this retreat and allowing them to come up here and learn about God. It could be thanking them for other things. It could be thanking them for just how they take you to practice or they help you with your homework or anything, right? Putting food on the table, one or both of your parents work so hard so that you have a roof over your head. So it could be as simple as just thanking them, but it could also be just saying, hey, you know, Mom, Dad, forgive me for not always being the best listener. Not maybe forgive me for, you know, rolling my eyes or the way I've spoken to you recently. And so I thought we'd just kind of close our time with that. I'm going to give you like, you know, just a few minutes to just write that little note. We don't have to, don't look at anyone else's. This is between you and your parents. And then if you could write your address on it, and then I'll mail it. So your parents will get it. I don't know if I can get it in the mail today, but, you know, they'll get it sometime this week. And so just write your address on there, on the side that's kind of blank. And then on the side with the lines, just kind of write a little note to your parents, all right? And then after a time, I'll come back up, and then we'll close our time in prayer. Sorry. I meant to make them. I must have messed up and made them. Yeah. So sorry. I usually do these as kind of more not shiny, but somehow I must have clicked the wrong button. So they're shiny, but they'll last forever. Your parents will treasure them. So yeah, maybe just kind of go over it a little bit. So if you have a, what do you call it, like a different pen, sometimes the felt pens work better. Yeah. Sorry about that.
can look it up for you.
Yeah, and if you don't know, Harrison can look it up. Let me put my glasses on. Oh, yeah, yeah, that'll work. Cool. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Cool. Thank you. That should work. Thank you. Thank you. Cool. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. All right, we'll give you a few more minutes. So again, the writing is on the left side. Your address is on the right. Thank you. Is there any more out there? Just a few? No problem. Done? Thank you. Thank you. Almost there?
No.
No. All right. Yeah, you can just toss them up here. Thank you. Okay, you guys can finish these up, but I'm going to close our time in prayer so that Keith can just kind of go to small groups, all right? All right, let's pray, okay? God, we thank you so much, again, for this time to be up here and to be with our friends and our youth group leaders. And Lord, I thank you that you're growing and teaching each one of us little by little. And so, Lord, I pray that today these middle schoolers would understand a little bit more what it is to be humble, how you were humble to the point of death on a cross, and that we could be saved by that death and then live lives of humility too, Lord. So we thank you, God, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, why don't you head to your small groups, huh?